Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. It's great to have you with us this week, and we're going to be continuing in our study of the Gospels. And I know I told you last week we were through with John chapter 6 and ready to move on, but we're actually not, because the Lord really spoke to me and gave me one more thing to say out of John chapter 6. He spoke to me for myself and used it in my own life, and I want to share it with you. So we'll get into it, but let's pray. Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the Word of God, which is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path, which, as David said, makes us wiser than the aged and the ancient because of your testimonies. And Lord Jesus, use your word in our life today in a major way to encourage our soul and to fortify our spirit and to bring hope to our walk with Christ. And Lord, we commit our time in the word of God to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said what? Amen. And what? Amen. You got it. Okie dokie. I used to always say to my kids, okie dokie, artichokey. Anyway, we are doing the Gospels here at on Live with Lon. And I think when we're done with this, we'll move on and do the book of Acts, which sounds like a wonderful idea to me. Just keep going in the Bible. But we're still in the Gospels. And we've been in John chapter 6 for a number of weeks. This is the most amazing chapter. And I thought we had finished it up, like I said last week, but we're going to go one more message out of John chapter 6. So I hope you're ready for us to do at Live with Lon what we always do. And what is that? We study what? The Bible. Say it with me. The whole Bible. And what? Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply to our lives. And with the Lord's help, that's what we're going to do today. Now, a little bit of background. Because remember, a text without a context is a pretext, right? Okay, a little bit of background. Here in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus has been talking to people about believing in him, and that brings eternal life. And then he goes on to define what kind of believing in him really activates eternal life in our souls. And he says, John chapter 6, verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This, look at verse 58. This is the bread, talking about himself, which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. And he said this in the synagogue at Capernaum, which we've shown you a picture of, and which if you go to Israel with me this fall, we'll give you a chance to stand in the very synagogue where he spoke these words. Amazing. Okay, I hope you can join us. But this scandalized the people. How can we eat a person's flesh and drink their blood? What is this gory nonsense? This sounds like cannibalism. What is this? And they were so confused that they said, look at this, verse 60, that many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Old King James says, and who can receive it? So as a result of this, and we talked about what this really means, it means about taking the Lord Jesus into us the way we take food and drink in, assimilating him, digesting him, and infusing him into every cell in our body. You can go back and listen to that. But these people said, wow, what is, this is hard to receive, hard to understand. And as a result, look with me, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter said this amazing, amazing thing. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Wow. You know, Peter often got it wrong and said stupid stuff like, let us build one tabernacle for you, one tabernacle for Moses, and one tabernacle for Elijah. And that's pretty stupid. You know, when Jesus said he was going to the cross, Peter was the one who said, may it never be. And Jesus had to say, get thee behind me, Satan. That's pretty stupid. Yeah, but this was a smart thing Peter said right here. Lord, where shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we are sure and we have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, last week we talked about this passage, but I want to talk about it again today and emphasize something a little different. You know, one passage of Scripture can have one, two, three, four so what's applications. So all I want to do today is take the same passage of Scripture we talked about last week, and I want us to give it, to look at one of the other applications that it can have to our life. This is good Bible teaching, being able to say, all right, there are three great so what's that come out of this same passage, but we're not going to try to pile them all into the same message. We're only going to have one point per message that we're trying to drive home to change our lives and our behavior. And if we think there's another great so what, we'll preach a second message. And a third so what, we'll preach a third message. But one point per message. One emphasis per message. So, today, what is the so what of this same passage we looked at last week? Well, that leads us to ask a very important question, doesn't it? And it's a little early in the message to ask it, but we've already talked about the passage, so let's get right to the so what. Are you ready? Come on now. Here we go. One, two, three. So what? Yes. And wow. So wonderful to be teaching the Word of God to you today and to myself. So what do we say? Where's our friend Jackie? Here he is. Are you ready? Come on now. What do we say? How sweet it is. You bet. You know, Jill's House, our overnight respite center for children with intellectual disabilities here in Fairfax, Virginia, named after my daughter, who actually never went to Jill's House. She was too old by the time we finally got it built and operating. But we just received the Spirit of Virginia Award given to us by Governor Youngkin and First Lady Youngkin. And they were in town a week or so ago to present that to us at Jill's House. And when the Fairfax Times newspaper covered the presentation, I had gotten up and talked about in the ceremony and talked about God. I started off, the very first thing I said was, ladies and gentlemen, I believe there is a real and a personal God. And I believe that real and personal God speaks to us through the words of the Bible. And I believe that real and personal God really cares deeply about these children with intellectual disabilities, because he says in the Bible, let the children come to me, and on we went. And then closed it up, very short remarks, by saying, I hope you know this real and personal God. I deeply hope you know him. Well, when they wrote the article for the paper, they didn't quote me at all, which didn't surprise me. They quoted a bunch of other people. They're not going to quote me in the Bible saying, in the article saying, I believe there's a real and personal God. The only part of what I said that they quoted, you know what it was? how sweet it is. They put that right as the subtitle, right under us getting that award. That's all of my talk that got in there. How sweet it is. Anyway, how sweet it is, baby, to be alive and studying God's holy word. Now, what's the so what here? Well, let's talk for a moment about why these people went away. Look what the Bible says. It says, verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no longer. They'd been tagging along and listening to his words for days, weeks, months. But this was over the top. They were done. Why? Well, we suggested last week that it might be because they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And they were so baffled by it that they just said, well, we don't even understand what he's talking about, so we're done. It could be because they were embarrassed by what he was saying. Eating my flesh and drinking my blood, and that they just didn't want to be associated with someone who walks around talking crazy like that in their mind. It may be that they were just so scandalized by what he said and so offended by what he said about eating and drinking his flesh and his blood that they said, we don't want anything to do with this guy anymore. And I had a gentleman who wrote in after last week and said, you know, Lon, I've got one more suggestion why they might have walked away, and that is because Jesus was calling for such a depth of belief and such a depth of commitment that they weren't prepared to give it. And you know what? He's right. I hadn't really thought about that, but absolutely he's correct. And so I want to give him his due. He's absolutely correct. That very well could have been a reason. But for whatever reasons there might have been, they said, we're gone, we're out of here, and they didn't walk with the Lord anymore. So the Lord turns to the disciples, the 12, and says, y'all want to go too? If you do, I mean, you're free to go. This is not a cult. Dude, go. And they said, to whom shall we go? You're the one who has the words of eternal life. And we've seen enough to know that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, folks, what did they do here that the other people who walked away didn't do? Well, very simply, they stuck with Jesus, even though they might not have understood what he said, and even though they might have been a little scandalized by what he said, and even though they might have been a little bit embarrassed by what he said, and even though he was calling for an utter, total commitment of their life, they stuck with Jesus. That's why the title of the message today is Sticking with Jesus. And you know, in our modern world, today, we also have these same reasons where we could walk away from Jesus. Jesus says things in the Bible that we don't understand. I don't understand all that he says, for sure. How does election and free will work together? I don't know. How does the Trinity exist? Three persons in the Godhead, equal but different. I don't know. How did the virgin birth work? I don't know. I don't know any of that. We can sometimes be embarrassed by what Jesus says when we stand up against abortion, or we stand up against gay marriage and gay behavior, when we stand up against unbelief, when we stand up for things that are pure and right and holy in our school systems and in our work environments and with our friends. Sometimes we can be embarrassed to name his name, yeah. And sometimes the level of commitment he calls for from us can be very challenging, particularly when we're going through really hard times. And that's another thing, sticking with Jesus when he puts us through really hard times and we don't understand why he's doing this to us. or what the purpose is, and it's painful and it's hurtful, all of these things, we stick with Jesus. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people are like the soil where the seed sprung up quickly, but then it died away. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, look with me in verse 20. He who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. A lot of people don't stick it out with Jesus. And I just want to say to you, my friends, that if you are a believer in Jesus and you're going through some hard times right now, you're going through some suffering right now, you're going through some painful things that the Lord has allowed to come on you right now, and you don't understand why this is happening, and you're wondering what the Lord is up to, and you are maybe embarrassed standing for him, even in the midst of what you're going through. And he's calling for total commitment from you, asking you to walk away and to leave things for him, or to do things for him. Listen, the issue is, are we going to stick with Jesus? It's just that simple. Stick with him or don't stick with him. Those are the only two choices, folks. There's no other choices. I used to say to my wife, Brenda, when we were going through some of our toughest times in our life, with my daughter, Jill. Many of you know my daughter, Jill, that she faces severe disabilities intellectually, physically, with the syndrome that she has. It's a chromosomal thing that she's had from birth. She was having 5, 6, 8 seizures every day, in and out of the hospital, in the middle of the night. No, we're not getting any sleep. On and on and on. It was the bottom of the black hole. And I remember saying to my wife, and she would say to me, we had a mantra together. And it was this. Today, there's only two things we can do. We can trust God. We can doubt God. That's it. Nothing else. And we've seen God do too much in our lives to doubt him. So the only choice we really have is to stick with him and trust him. Even though this hurts, even though this is tough, even though this is pressing us to the very limit of what we think we can take and even beyond, we're sticking with Jesus because it's the only option that there is for us, is to trust him and stick with him. You know, when I think of this, I think of the man in John chapter 9 that Jesus healed, who was blind from birth. I don't want to do too much here because I don't want to give away all my cannon fire for this chapter. But talk about a guy sticking with Jesus. Look at this. And we know from the chapter that anybody who confessed Jesus, they were going to throw, the Jews threw them out of the synagogue. But look what he says. Look what he says. Then they called again, verse 24, the man who was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. And this man answered and said to them, why, here is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he, that person, God hears. Since the world began, It has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us. And they threw him out. Here's a guy stuck with Jesus. Why? Because he didn't fully understand everything. But Jesus had done something in his life that he couldn't deny. He had given the man his sight. Whereas once I was blind, now I see. So doubting Jesus was not an option. Therefore, the only option there was sticking with him. Even through the treatment of the rabbis, they reviled him, they insulted him, they were going to kick him out the synagogue. They threw him out of their presence. They spoke down to him and condescended to him. He still stuck with Jesus. Why? Because this guy opened my eyes. You fellows never did anything for me. Therefore, I think I'll stick with him. In John chapter 5, remember we saw the man at the pool of Bethesda whom Jesus healed and said, pick up your stretcher and walk. And the rabbis confronted him and said, you're not allowed to carry your stretcher on the Sabbath. And he said, hey, the man who healed me told me to pick up my stretcher and walk. And guess what, fellas? You all never healed me. I'm sticking with him. I'm picking up my stretcher and walking. Hey, this is what we do. Once Jesus does a work in our heart, and we know, listen what the disciples said. They said, and we are sure, verse 69, and believe. We believe and we are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we've come to that place, we have one option. We stick with God. Whether we understand what he's doing, whether we like what he's doing, whether we are fully in agreement, maybe in our own logic, with what he's doing. Lord, why are you doing this to me? Whether we have to take an embarrassing position from a worldly point of view on issues like abortion, like gay rights, like divorce, like not living together before you're married. All of these things today that our culture will laugh at us and say, you're prehistoric. You're unsophisticated. You know, nobody believes this anymore. We stick with Jesus. And why? And I'll close with this. Why? Look what Peter said. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Look at this. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Wow. Isn't that great? To whom shall we go? Lord, if we leave you, where are we going to go? To Buddha? Where are we going to go? To Confucius? Where are we going to go? To Muhammad? Where are we going to go? To Joseph Smith and the Mormons? Where are we going to go? To L. Ron Hubbard and the Scientologists? Where are we going to go? To Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science? Where are we going to go? To the Jehovah's Witnesses? Where are we going to go? To the New Age movement? Where are we going to go? To secular Americanism? Where are we going to go? To complete unbelief and agnosticism? Where are we going to go? Do any of those things offer us eternal life? Did any of those people rise from the dead? Huh? Do any of those people offer us eternal life? Listen to what Jesus said. He said in John 14, 19, let's put that on the screen, because I live, you shall live also. Which of these people was ever resurrected from the dead and said, now that I live eternally, you who follow me and are faithful and stick with me, you will too? Nobody promised that. None of these people rose from the dead and can offer that. And I love what 2 Timothy chapter 1 says. Let's put that up on the screen. Verse 10. It says that our Savior, Jesus Christ, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Who else has done this? Who else has abolished death? Who else has brought immortality to us? And how do we get it? Look what it says. It says through the gospel, not through transcendental meditation, not through praying five times to Mecca, and not through meditating in a yoga position, not through Zen, not through any of these things, not through higher education, not through following secular philosophy. None of these things have brought immortality to light and offered it to the human race. None of these things have abolished death. To whom shall we go? Only the Lord Jesus has the words of eternal life. Sticking with him makes sense. Sticking with him, no matter what he asks us to go through, is the right decision that will yield heaven for us. I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say. They sound for Daniel's three friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king when he was going to throw him in the fiery furnace. You remember that? Let's go back to the book of Daniel and I'll show it to you. If you remember, they had refused to bow down to the king's image. And so the king threatened them and said, if you don't do it, I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace. And look what they say. They said, if you do this, verse 17, Daniel 3, if it be so, if you do this, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. We're trusting him to do that. Watch, but even if he doesn't, I love this, even if he doesn't, even if our expectation is not exactly how he wants to solve this problem, even if he doesn't, we're sticking with him. Look, let it be known to you, O king, even if he doesn't, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Sticking with Jesus. That's what they did. That's what we need to do as well. I want to close with some verses from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Let these things really encourage your heart, my friends. But recall, Paul writes to the Hebrews, the former days in which, after you were illuminated, after you came to Christ, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations. Let's skip down to verse 34. Knowing in yourselves that you have a better and an enduring possession in heaven, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What promise? Well, the promise of heaven and the rewards that God has there for us. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, friends. At the end of this, if you stick with Jesus, is everything God has promised you here in the Word of God and more. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard what God has for those of us who believe in him. Let's pray. And I want us to take a minute, and if we're going through some tough times now, if we've got some things going on in our life right now we don't understand, we don't like, if we've got some things going on in our life right now that hurt and are painful, we've got some things going on in our life right now where we're standing for the Lord and we're being ridiculed and mocked and made fun of, and our flesh is embarrassed. to defend what he says. If we're going through some things right now where the Lord Jesus is calling us to a deeper level of commitment, one that costs us something dearly, this is a time for us to say, Lord, I'm sticking with you. I'm not going to throw away my confidence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. For it has great reward. Let's take a moment and tell the Lord we're sticking with him. Lord Jesus, life is much like a roller coaster ride. And yet the people who are safe are not the ones who jump out of the roller coaster, but the ones who sit and ride it out and stick with it to the end. Lord, that's a very simplistic example, though. It's true. Of what it's like to walk with you. Our life has ups and downs, sometimes like a roller coaster, but the safe place for us to be is in that car, holding on, sticking with you to the end. So Lord Jesus, encourage us to do that today. Thank you for reminding us not to throw away our confidence. It has great reward. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that there's only two options every day, to trust you or to doubt you. And we can't doubt you because we have believed and are sure that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So Jesus, fortify our souls, strengthen our hearts and our minds to stick with you regardless of the cost, because there is great reward that you have promised us for doing so. May the Holy Spirit give us the strength we need to stick with you to the end. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And what? Amen. Now, next week, Lord willing, we're going on to John chapter 7. But wow, what a great chapter this has been, huh? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, thanks for joining us today on Live with Lon. May God give you a wonderful week of sticking with Jesus.